Let's pray first. Lord our God, would you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we are going to continue on our series called Highways, a Roadmap to Greater Things. And as God said in Isaiah 55 verse 9, he said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we're talking about the highways of God and how God leads us. And I'm just going to move this back because I don't have much room up here. So these are the five things that we're going to talk about in this series. Last week, you heard Pastor Victor speak about community. Today, it's on prayer. And next week, Pastor Victor will be back again speaking on generosity. So this morning, I'm going to read from John 14, verse 12 to 14. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And then Acts 2, verse 42 and 43. They, that is the early Christians, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You see, Jesus said they were going to be doing even greater things than he did. And that was coming true in the early church already with the apostles. So this morning, I said we're going to talk about prayer. Now, prayer is a huge topic. There's many volumes written on prayer. Many different ways to pray. There's contemplative prayer, and there's listening prayer, and there's intercessory prayer. There's others as well. But this morning, we're going to focus on intercessory prayer. You know, when I grew up, I grew up in a Christian home. We prayed every day. We prayed before and after every meal, and we prayed before bedtime. And for me, when I was young, those prayers were in Dutch because my father and mother had been recent immigrants from the Netherlands. And so I learned those prayers off by memory, and they didn't really mean that much to me. As I grew older, I started understanding more that, you know, I could pray for different things, especially before exams in high school. Lord, help me. I need help. And then after we got married, there was also a time where really depended a lot on prayer, because Lawrence had gotten laid off of his superintendent job. He was a superintendent on big construction projects. It was a very good job, good paying job, and we had a baby at the time, and I stayed home with him. And when he got laid off, it was like, Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay our mortgage? How are we going to afford all the things that we need to pay for? And one day, Lawrence decided he was going to go hunting with our neighbor. And he said to me, "I don't have very much hope of getting anything because we're only going for one day. And usually you need to scout out the area. You need to spend time, like a few days, before you actually find an animal." But I prayed that morning, "Lord, please let him get at least one thing, like a deer or a moose, so that we could have meat for that winter." And it was really amazing. He came home that day with two animals, a moose and a deer. And it was like, wow, God really came through for us. He really cares. He knows what is going on in our life. And, you know, I then joined a neighborhood Bible study with different women in our neighborhood. We lived on an acreage even west of where we live now. And one day, a woman came to my door, and she was selling eggs. But her real reason was to invite me to this neighborhood Bible study. And so I went, and I was just really blown away by these different women and how they prayed. They had this real depth to their prayer. They just had this real relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. And I was like, wow, I really want that. And they prayed these prayers that were just really down to earth and prayed for their own needs and their family's needs and for the neighborhood needs. And it was, we saw answers to these prayers. And so my faith grew and my prayer life grew on account of that. You know, I think many people these days are looking for ways to connect to something bigger than themselves, to a higher power, that there is, they believe there is something out there that is greater than they are, that they want to connect to, that there is some power. And many people pray, but they don't really know who they're praying to. And many things are coming up more and more in our society where people are turning more to spiritual things, where they're meditating and like yoga, transcendental meditation, even trying Buddhism, all these different ways of trying to connect to this higher power. But we know that there is a God and that He hears our prayers and that there is power to prayer or power in prayer. In our passage this morning, John 14, where Jesus was actually speaking to His disciples and He was comforting them, He was saying, you know, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, I'm going to ascend to heaven to be with my Father, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be doing even greater things than I've done. So it's a good thing that I'm going away. It's okay, it's okay. The disciples were very anxious about the fact that He was going to be leaving, but He was comforting them by saying, you know what? You're going to be doing even greater things than I have done through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, but also through prayer. The thing is that what Jesus was telling them was, you know what? I'm going to reign from heaven. I want to do the things that I've done here on earth, like eradicate poverty and oppression and injustice and bring healing to people. But I'm going to do it through you. And I'm going to do it through the prayers that you pray. There is power in prayer because God is calling us to partner with Him through prayer. Now, this is totally mind-boggling when you think about it. God, the sovereign God of the universe, the Almighty God, the Holy God, the everlasting God, He is calling us, mere humans, to partner with Him in bringing about His kingdom here on earth. You know, who have seen the eclipse just a few weeks ago? Wasn't that incredible? And God is the one who's pulling all of those heavenly beings into orbit, like the moon coming between the sun and the earth. He's the one who's put all of this together. This week, Lawrence and I were camping in Kananaskis, and I was working on this sermon as I was sitting by this lake with beautifully surrounded by mountains. And I was thinking, Lord God, you are so majestic and so mighty and so creative, and yet you are calling us to partner with you in bringing your kingdom here on earth. It's unbelievable. God is calling us to be His ambassadors right where we are, right in our own neighborhoods. And one way that we can start to partner with God is to start praying for our neighbors. Pray for the family across the street from you or beside you. And even if you don't know their names, you can still pray. And as you start praying, you start realizing that you're starting to care for these people and that you do want to know who they are and what's happening in their lives and what you can pray for. My sister and brother-in-law just moved into Lacombe. They were farming close to Sylvan Lake, and they recently sold all of that and moved into town. And this was really new for them to have neighbors because they didn't have neighbors out on by the farm. And so she was trying to meet her neighbors, and she was kind of baffled by the backdoor neighbor who she never saw any activity in this really big three-story house. And my aunt said to her, you know what, you need to start praying for those people. And so she did. And lo and behold, she started seeing them. They were like coming out into the backyard. There's a huge fence around the yard, like 4 feet high, so it wasn't like she could really see in there. But one day, they did open the back gate because they had to bring some out to the garbage or something, and she introduced herself and met them and saw the backyard beautifully landscaped. So she was like, wow, God really answered that prayer. Prayer is the vehicle through which God has chosen to work. So we need to pray. This is not something that we can just forget about. Prayer has to be the foundation of all that we do. And when we pray, God works. God brings things into being. And when you understand that very fundamental thing about prayer, you see that, yeah, you're being a partner with God in bringing about the things that He wants to do on this earth. I think that there are some people who would say, you know, if God is sovereign and God is transcendent, you know, God is going to do what He's going to do, so why in the world should I pray? What difference do my prayers make? Well, when you understand that prayer is about partnership and that God is calling you to pray, then you will see that, even though God is sovereign, even though God is omnipotent and all-powerful, He is still working out His will here on earth through us and through our prayers. You know, we live on an acreage just southwest of Edmonton, and we don't have any neighbors, like in close proximity anyways. We actually cannot see another house from where we live. So we've been praying, Lord, show us who our neighbors are. Who can we show Jesus' love to? Now, in January, Lawrence and I signed up for Good Life Fitness, which is just down the road from us. And we signed up for a personal trainer, each one of us. And the person that I got paired up with phoned me and set up the appointments and everything, and he told me his name, very foreign sounding name, and he had an accent, and it was a guy, and I was like, oh no, how could I possibly be put together with a guy for a personal trainer? So I went with a little apprehension and trepidation, met this fellow, and he was very friendly and very talkative and just very nice. And so we're working out and he's showing me all these machines and everything. And I actually asked him if I could tell this story, and he said, sure, go ahead, but don't tell them my name. And so anyways, I will call him Kevin. And so he is from Lebanon, and he's Muslim. And so we had these great conversations while I'm lifting weights and he's counting, and we're trying to talk in between. It was actually great fun. And after the 7 times that we met, I just started working out on my own, and he ended up quitting working there. But we kept in contact. He had given me his email address, and we invited him and his wife over for dinner. And he had told me later that he did not generally go for dinner to anybody's house because he didn't trust anybody because they'd been through a civil war in Lebanon and displaced from his home and just didn't trust people. But it was just amazing how we had this connection and just, long story short, they are now like family to us, he and his wife. And they had twins in May, born baby girls, and it didn't go well. They were born with emergency C-section, and they thought that one of them for sure had brain damage because of oxygen deprivation. This was the most traumatic time for them. It was just horrible. And they had no family or friends, really. And so I went to the hospital to visit the day after, and I said, "Kevin, can I pray with you?" And he said, "Yes." So I prayed with him and just prayed in the name of Jesus that these babies would be okay. And I told him, "I'm going to ask many people to pray for you and for these twins." And he said, "Yes, thank you." And so I did that, and the babies are doing really well. Like, they are growing and thriving, and it looks like, at this point anyway, there's no brain damage. And so we're like, "Thank you, Jesus." And I'm telling him all the time that it's through prayer that Jesus had healed these little ones. And they're so precious in his sight. And I know that God is working in their hearts. And I know that he has a plan, because he didn't put us together at Good Life Fitness for just an abstract reason. No, it's because he wants them to know the love of Jesus. And so we're keeping on praying for that. And maybe one day he'll come, so you'll see him and find out his real name. Christ asks us to partner with him in bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth and in building God's kingdom. And what I mean by God's kingdom is the same kinds of things that Jesus Christ did while he was on earth. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He just brought justice to people who were oppressed. He gave people forgiveness. And that's what he wants us to do as his ambassadors and his partners here on earth. There are a couple conditions to prayer, and that came up this morning in our passage of John 14. The two conditions are that we are to ask in Jesus' name, and the second is that God is to be glorified. So when we ask in Jesus' name, what is Jesus really saying? He's saying, "I'm going to heaven. I'm going to do the things that I'm going to do, building my kingdom on earth through you, through your prayers. So pray in my name." What he said is, "Whatever you ask, you ask in my name, I will give it to you." So often I think we like to pull that out of context and say, whatever we ask, Jesus will give to us, and remove that phrase, "in his name." You see, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're actually praying along the lines of what Jesus wants us to pray for, and for his kingdom to come. He says, "As long as you're for the same things that I'm for, and you recognize what a great thing that is, then yes, I will answer. My power will be released into the world through your prayers and through you." Therefore, what he is saying here is that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. There is power in prayer. Praying in Jesus' name also keeps us focused on what to pray for. What would Jesus pray for in our lives, in our situations, where we find ourselves? Well, how do we know? In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Who's ever pruned a bush or a tree or a vine? What happens to the branches that you cut off? They totally die, wither and die. Same with us. Jesus says he is the vine and we are the branches. If we disconnect ourselves from Jesus or from reading the word, from spending time with him in prayer, then we become disconnected, we wither and die. How are we to know what Jesus would pray for? How do we know that we can attach his name to the end of our prayers? It's because we know Jesus' heart. We know what moves his heart and what he wants us to pray for. And so we have to stay close to him. Jesus himself spent much time in prayer to his Father. He often went off to a solitary place to pray at the beginning of the day. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need that? And when we ask in Jesus' name, we are like putting Jesus' authority on our prayers. It's like, you know, when we were kids and you go to your mom and you ask for something, you say, well, Dad said I could. So you're putting Dad's name in there to give your request some more authority. Or like an author who's writing a book, and he asks a very accomplished author to endorse that book for them. And you think, oh, wow, if Charles Colson endorsed that book, that must be a good book. So you read it. So he is attaching that name. Jesus' name gives authority to our prayers to God the Father. Some of you may be thinking or in your heart, you know what? God's not really answering my prayers. Therefore, maybe there's something wrong with me. It seems like he listens and answers other people's prayers, but not mine. Well, then maybe you're praying in your own name instead of Jesus' name. A Christian is someone who says, Jesus Christ is not just my example, but he is my righteousness. He is the one who died for me. He's the one who paid for my debts on the cross. And so now, because of that, I'm good with you, Father. And I can pray in his name, and I can pray with power and conviction, because I know that God hears my prayers because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. The second condition to prayer, as Jesus said in this verse, John 14, John 14, verse 13, ask for anything in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Well, what does this mean? Glory actually means weight. So in other words, to glorify something means to give it a lot of weight. And if, like when you look, has anybody ever done pottery on a potter's wheel, like with clay, you know, and you're making beautiful things? I did this once many years ago. I took a class in pottery. And you know, you have to have that lump of clay in the exact center of that wheel. Otherwise, what happens is the clay just becomes this warbled mess, and it sometimes even flies totally off of the wheel. To glorify something is to have it as the center of your life, as the center of your gravity. So to glorify God is to have God at the center. But if you don't have God at the center, then whatever happens is like that lump of clay. It just spins off, and it really wreaks havoc in our lives. We have to have God as our center to make something beautiful out of our lives. When our prayers become very self-focused or selfish, then we're putting that center or that weight of gravity on ourselves instead of on God. Or sometimes when we're so concerned about a relationship with someone else or that's broken, or we're concerned about our job or lack thereof, we put that as the center, it'll totally disintegrate. But we have to have God at the center. That's what it means to glorify God. And in the Bible, it absolutely shows us all the time that we need to glorify God. Even in the Lord's Prayer that we prayed earlier, the first part and the last part is all about glorifying God, about keeping our eyes focused on God and who He is. Because when we keep our eyes focused on God, that He is the all-powerful one and He is the one who cares for us and loves us, He is the one who answers our prayer, and He is the one that we can count on. He needs to be at the center. And also, when we pray prayers in Jesus' name, therefore, along the lines of what Jesus would pray for, then God is glorified in the answers to those prayers. Because we say, yes, thank you, God, for answering that prayer, and He is glorified. So, in conclusion, God acts in response to our prayers. Acts 2, verse 42 and 43, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to koinonia, or fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. You see, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they devoted themselves to prayer, praying in the things of God, praying in the things that Jesus would want to do. There's this prayer coach, he's called Armin Geswin. He said this: the early church didn't just have prayer meetings. The early church was a prayer meeting. In fact, in the early church, every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian. And this promise is available to us today as well, that God will work through our prayers. We must see the importance of prayer. It has to be the foundation of all that we do in our own lives, in our house churches, in our church. We are then empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that God calls us to do. And asking in Jesus' name links us to Jesus. You know, at Mosaic House Church, a couple years ago, we were approached by another Christian Reformed church saying that they wanted to give us their building. And we were like, yes, we'd been praying that God would give us opportunities because we wanted, got this vision from God through prayer that we're a church planting church. But we weren't ready for this yet because we had just planted the Avenue Church a couple years before that, and we had on our agenda, you know, every 5 years that we would plant a church. Well, God gave us this church, and we're like, but God, the timing doesn't seem right. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough people. And we kept on praying, Lord, really? Do you really want us to do this? Do you really want us to take this building? Well, it seemed kind of like, duh, yeah, you know, like, I mean, you're just given a building. So we're praying all of the resources in, praying the people in, praying the money in. And God has been faithful and has answered those prayers. And it's now almost a year since that church launched in mid-October. And we praise God for answered prayer, and that church in the Otwell area is reaching out to neighbors there and making a difference in that neighborhood. R.A. Torrey, he was a man of God, a man of prayer. He started the Jesus Abbey. It's a place of prayer in Korea. He said this: prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and has is at the disposal of prayer. Prayer can do anything that God can do, and as God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent. Prayer can move mountains, change people's hearts. It can change neighborhoods, cities, and nations. It's the ultimate source of power because it is the power of Almighty God. And that power is available to each one of us because we have that tool of prayer. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14 says this. Let's read this together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You know what? God is calling us to be partners with him in bringing the things to this, to our own circles of influence, what Jesus would bring if he was here. He is empowering each one of us by the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the tool of prayer. Don't forget it, people. Don't forget it. You have to pray because there's many, many things that need to be done in your neighborhoods and in our cities. People need to know the grace of God. They need to know that he loves them. There's so much poverty that needs to be erased and eradicated. There's so much oppression. There is slavery. There's young girls being brought here from Cambodia for the sex trade. Did you know that, people? Do you know that we need to pray? Because God is counting on us to pray so that he can work in this world. So pray big. Pray big, audacious prayers because God is all-powerful and he works through our prayers. Are the things that you are praying for, are they worth Jesus Christ's death? Are they worth Jesus dying for? I hope so. So I just have some applications that you could take home with you. Make a list of neighbors, or it could be coworkers, or just people in your sphere of influence, people you meet at the Good Life Fitness, of who God would want you to pray for, and start praying for those people. Second, these are some things that you can pray for, that God would bless them. This is from Pastor Karen Wilk, who wrote the book, Don't Invite Them to Church. And she means, you know, invite them to your house and your house churches. Pray that God would bless them, body, for health, protection, strength, for their work or labor, for their emotional state, that they would find joy and peace and hope, social life, and their spiritual needs. And then, number three would be, do a neighborhood prayer walk. This is something that you could do with your house church. Walk around the neighborhood where you meet and pray for the people who live in those homes. Pray those other things, those blessings for them. And another thing is come for early morning prayer. We have prayer meeting here, this right in Blue Quill, lower level, on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. and at East at 6:30 on Fridays. And I'm going to start another prayer meeting on another morning of the week. And if you are interested, please come and talk to me about that. You heard this verse already a couple times this morning, Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There is power in corporate prayer when we come together to pray for God's will to be done in our lives and in our neighborhoods and our city. Let's pray. Father God, we want to give you the glory for who you are. You are the Almighty God, the God of the universe, and we are humbled that you would call us to partner with you on this earth, to bring your kingdom here, where there needs to be eradication of injustice and poverty and oppression, that people would come to know that you want them to be your children and to be saved. Help us, Lord, to be in step with you and what you want to accomplish and help us to pray. Help us to understand the importance of prayer and the power that it has. Thank you for Jesus, who is our righteousness, and through whose name we may pray. Amen.